see. Where's Gabriel at? Where'd I see him? Would you go get those outlines again for me, please? And I think there's some people right over here that may not have received one. Have a continuation lesson. A continuation lesson from a couple weeks ago. I'm just trying to establish a series of lessons that hope will be beneficial to us in our spiritual life, our spiritual growth, especially in getting us moved closer to God. No matter how close we are already, I just think there's a way, there's some information that I want to present or going to try to present that will help us in our spiritual life. So at the top of the page, I just put a review on point number one. That when a couple weeks ago, I gave you a lesson just on, I reviewed what it took for what you did to become a Christian. And then I went to point number one in these notes. There, when you were baptized, there were some immediate blessings that you received. And I didn't list all of them, or not all of them are listed in your notes of what the Bible gives. But you just kind of look back for this. When you were baptized, you received remission of sins. You received the gift of the Holy Spirit, which was a down payment or God's guarantee that He will receive you to Himself. Number three, you received every spiritual blessing, and those blessings are listed in Ephesians chapter 1. When you were baptized, you put on Christ. When you were baptized, you start walking in newness of life. You're a new creation. When you were baptized, Paul writes in Titus chapter 3, you've been justified. You are now heirs of God. Expect an inheritance. You have the hope of eternal life. In Romans chapter 5, again, Paul mentions when you were baptized, you are now justified. You are now saved from wrath. You are reconciled to God. And that's an occasion of rejoicing. And also I just began a couple things previously in lessons. Now then, what does Christian living look like? Number one, I just said that we need to grow and use those verses as newborn babes. Grow. And Peter also said to grow in grace and knowledge. Appreciate what God has done for us, for you. Make it personal. You know, so we say thank you, God. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In future lessons, I plan on starting next week on lesson just getting to know God better. I'm just going to look at some of the characteristics of God and spend more time on each attribute or characteristic of God than I typically do in a lesson, because it typically in a lesson I outline so many things, five things or six things. So now I think I'm going to start next week and just look at one and spend a little bit more time on it so that we gain knowledge of God. With that knowledge, I hope it not only gives us knowledge, but it brings us closer to God and eventually to one another. But we need to grow. Bible study? Yes. Study, Paul told Timothy, to show yourself approved to God. To God. That's right. And then I mentioned be faithful. I put those two verses, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, and Revelation 2, verse 10. And I just mentioned what's the best thing that can be said about a Christian. What's the very best thing that can be said about you is that you're faithful. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You don't have to do what anybody else does, but develop your own talents and just fulfill your obligations that you have. Be faithful to what you are been given in stewardship. And then Revelation 2, verse 10, be thou faithful until death. So never give up, and I'll give you the crown of life. So that brings us to the next part. It's seek. You know, by definition, you know, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. So if you're going to seek something, that's a divine appeal. It's not something that we just made up or think is a good idea. Jesus said, I want you to seek first. First, there's some priority in that seeking. I want you to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things will be added. But there's something about first things first, we say. So I put it, it's a commandment that should be honored rather than man's commandments or obligations, that seek God first. It means that God's word must be received. Yes. Take it to heart and then practice. Put it into practice. Yeah. In Colossians 3, verse, beginning of the first three verses, if you were raised with Christ, and we were when we were baptized, seek those things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above. So seek and set, we say. You want to grow? Seek and set. Our lesson. I'll cut something else short. There's a song in our book. I'm going to try to lead it. It's number 619. It's one of the songs that I draw to, 619. The lesson of this song, the hymn writer has captured it. Did I say 619? Is that buried with Christ? A new creature, yes. The hymn writer, the words of this song, can say it, you know, it's better than I can in a sense. But listen to the words as we sing this song. And now we're a new creature. We've been baptized into Christ. What does that look like? Here it is. So hymn number 619.
Buried with Christ, my blessed Redeemer, dead to the old life of folly and sin. Satan may call the The world may intrigue me. There is no voice that answers within. Dead to the world, to voices that call me. Living anew, obedient but free. Dead to the joys that once did enthrall me. Yet 'tis not I, Christ, liveth in me. Dead unto sin, a life through the Spirit, risen with him from the gloom of the grave. All things are new, and I am rejoicing. Then his great love, his power to save. Dead to the world, to voices that call me, living anew, obedient but free. Dead to the joys that once did enthrall me, yet 'tis not I, Christ, liveth in me. Sin has no more its cruel dominion. Walking in newness of life, I am free. Glorious life, oh Christ, my Redeemer, which so richly shareth with me. Dead to the world, to the voices that call me, living anew, oh, obedient but free. Dead to the joys that once did enthrall me, yet 'tis not I, Christ, liveth in me.
Boy, just read those words over and over again. What does Christianity look like? There's your New Year's, there's your resolutions. Not just New Year's, there's your daily resolution. Just read those words. A new creation, dead and alive. I put number 5, pray. You would know that. pray without ceasing. In your notes, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, I use this verse, I title it The Four Alls of Prayer. I put in bold print the words where you see the word all. So look at, notice that these are the four alls of prayer. Praying all ways with all prayer. There's a time to say thank you, God. There's a time to petition God, a supplication. There's a time to say thank you or make requests on behalf of others. All kinds of prayer, all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance. Don't let up. Don't let up. You pray without ceasing. You pray always. All perseverance and supplication. I always like the last one, for all the saints. For all the saints. There's a time to ask, are there any prayer requests? Is there anything that you want me to say in when I pray for us? Is there anything? So we ask for, is there a prayer request? Yeah, Vicki.
You asking for
requests? I'll take a request.
I'm so sorry.
I usually don't have a sermon interrupted, but I'm fine with that, yes. We had it before you arrived. We had some requests, so certainly we'll add you to the list.
I told Susan we're going to pray for her, and I will ask praying for her.
Family. Oh, for Susan, yes.
And another request, I appreciate a lot.
So just some thanksgiving, that we're saying.
This is Thanksgiving. I want to give thanks to God because God is good.
Yes.
God is good in my life, and be part of you guys. You've been a blessing for me and my son. I see a lot of changes on my son, and I know it's the word of God that he's getting it in here.
There you go.
Yep. Through you guys.
We need to know that.
It's so a blessing.
We need to let our request be made known and to say, we need to hear that you appreciate us.
I appreciate.
And it works both ways.
I give thanks to God for the church of Christ.
He's good.
And I'm also, I want to ask you guys to pray. My son is going to be having an eye surgery.
Oh. Levant.
Pretty soon, yeah.
Okay.
And
we'll add that one to it. That's for sure.
Thank you.
Yep. So we say, don't forget to pray. Pray for one another. I put the last one, attendance. I have much more to say about prayer because of time. But I think with this, Vicki, that's one purpose of an assembly. And so when I had my last point here for this lesson, attend the worship assembly faithfully. It's part of our maturity, and it helps us. Hebrews chapter 10, you're familiar with it. First, this is one of the let us verses in the Bible in Hebrews. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Let's hold fast without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Why would I want to hold fast? Why do I maintain steadfastness? Because he's faithful, who's promised. He's faithful. So let's consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. We do that by not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, oh, how sad, but exhorting one another, and then so much the more, as much as we exhort, the Hebrew writer says, you know what you're doing? Keep doing it, and do it some more. Do it some more. The more you see the day approaching. So there's the value. You've heard me say this about the value of assembly. You know, it's, first of all, it's a demonstration of our holding fast our faith. It's a visual. It's a testimony to one another, just coming together. It's an opportunity to consider one another, to stir up to love and good works. You know, that work you're doing, I want to commend you for that. I want to say I appreciate you, the work that you're doing. You're doing something that I can't do, perhaps, or something like that. So I want to stir you up to good works. And then when we assemble together, we're obeying the admonition, don't forsake the assembly. And then it provides an opportunity to exhort one another. In other words, we encourage one another. Now, what we say is, what you're doing, let's do some more. Let's keep it up. We encourage one another, exhort one another. So I put in your notes, attending the assembly does not depend on how far you live from the building, but how close you live to God. You know, chew on that one. So I had more to say, but it's just good to get together. It's good. Just as we did when we made our announcements, we learned about the needs in the life of one another. We were counting or listing last week, I believe, in the life of the congregation here, there's been 5 deaths. 5 in the last couple months. A relative or somebody that we know. You know, we're going to go to a funeral in a couple of weeks for my son's mother-in-law up in L.A., Jared, and Alma Beth. Alma Beth's mother passed away. Don's sister. Sandy Good's father. Christina grew up with a girl in the congregation where she was as a teenager. And he was a preacher in Walla Walla, Washington, and he passed away several weeks ago. But we're not going to that funeral. But then there was another one. So we counted just in the last couple months, there's been a death in somewhere in here. No, Don, that means Don's sister. Wow. So we need to know about those things so we can encourage one another, the value of assembly. So it's part of our growth and our maturing in our faith that we do it. So we listed those this evening. You know, mentioned Dennis and Susan and Chris. And others, Amy, me. It's that song, "It's Me, O Lord, Standing in the Need of Prayer." Everybody has to sing that one. You don't even have to have an affliction. We just all stand in the need of prayer. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. Dennis, make your way to the front here, if you would. Let's stand together and...
Did I already name the song?
No, you didn't, but you can do it right now.
I'd like to sing 509.
509.